Hello there and welcome to the Spread Nessens Football Picks Podcast. I'm Nessens.com's Mike Cole, joined once again and as always by Ricky Doyle. Ricky, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Big week.
Very big week.
London week.
Oh, it is a London week.
Yeah.
Wow, great.
I'm sure we won't touch that
we're
game.
We're sending our best to London with the Jets and the Falcons. Yeah, we're here back to make our football picks for the week, NFL picks to be specific. We will pick the three best and biggest games of the week, which actually was a little bit difficult this week to kind of to pare down. And then we'll do locks and upsets. We'll have our weekly conversation with Nessens betting analyst Sam Paniatovich. And then we will be on our way for merriment and other things.
Yes.
I was going to say, we could talk about the baseball playoffs because it's kind of a yearly tradition.
Yeah, it is. Sure is.
But I don't think we'll talk about the wild card game because we're recording this on Tuesday, exactly 6 hours before first pitch between the Red Sox and the Yankees. So we don't need to give our takes on those. Anyway, before we get into this week's slate, let's revisit last week. I went 11-5.
Yeah, you had a good week.
I had a very good week.
That was the first, like, real, I think, notable week, good or bad, from us.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we've been towing the line of just mediocrity.
I think I went 6-10 last week was the closest thing we got to any sort of volatility. But even then, you could kind of draw a path to 8-8 from 6-10.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I've been just right down the middle, just middling franchise, Chicago Bears or
coin flipping stooge, basically.
Yes.
So, yeah, I don't know. Are you getting a better grasp on things here?
Well, I do think, and I guess we'll get into this with Sam, I would imagine. But we're reaching a point now where you get a little bit of a sample size. You start to put a little more stock into some of the data. You actually have the data.
Yeah.
I mean, there's definitely, I didn't feel good about many of the games last week. I just thought a lot of the matchups were tricky. But all in all, I think you're starting to get a pretty good read on things.
I told you when we came in here I was feeling pretty good about this week, which I don't think has anything to do with the fact that I had a good week last week. I just think we're starting to get a bigger, you know, sample size, and the stats are starting to mean a little bit more, although they can be a little misleading still.
There's definitely some confirmation bias, I'm sure, in a lot of instances.
And there is some of this we'll get into later. I think our third game especially is an interesting one. I kind of want to look at the numbers and see what they mean. But before we do that, let's just get into it with our slate. We're going to start Sunday afternoon in Cincinnati, Ohio. A lot of Ohio this week. The Buckeye State is well represented in more ways than one. With a little Urban Meyer tease there as well. But the Packers heading on the road. The Packers win last week against Pittsburgh at home. They go back out on the road to take on Cincinnati. Cincinnati, long rest after playing the Thursday night game. A game in which they didn't look good for one half, came storming back to beat Urban Meyer's Jaguars. The Packers at DraftKings Sportsbook are 3-point favorites here. Who do you like in this one, Ricky?
Well, so when we were, you know, when we start our thread to kick around the three games we're going to talk about, I feel like, you know, we can't pass up this opportunity to talk about the Bengals because all the years we've done this, I don't think we've had too many opportunities to probably to.
We've done it for. They've been better than we realize.
Well, going back to the AFC North football.
Yeah.
Late season clashes, I'm sure.
Like that Monday night game, the Steelers one, where there was
where everybody was getting their head knocked off. So I'm sure we did it back then, but I feel like it's been a few years. Probably a popular lock and upset pick, though.
Yeah,
for
definitely.
For one reason or another. I'll ask you because you are the, I feel like you're much more in tune with the Packers than I am. Is this line this low due to just injuries?
I think that's the... Well, I don't know, actually, because I think it was pretty close to 3 right after Sunday, which, I mean, I guess Jair Alexander's injury was, I mean, it didn't look good during the game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really
it's
don't
just,
know.
Because it's funny. It's just a weird,
well,
to your, weird game, weird
I guess,
line.
Kind of to your point, 80% of the tickets and 91% of the money are in Green Bay. So it feels a little trappy, if we're
it
being
does.
Honest.
Well, and that's why I asked, because it's one of these things where it feels trappy. It's like I start to talk myself into, you know, my brain turns into a pretzel because I'm like, am I just overthinking this right now? Because, see, my thing with the Bengals is, one, I don't know if I'm necessarily sold on that defense yet. A lot of the numbers point to them being really good, but I don't know. The eye test told me otherwise last week against Jacksonville, at least in that first half.
They got marched on.
I think some of that has to do with probably their injuries in the secondary, but still, I mean, it's they're in a situation where they're having to overcome these deficits. I think they've overcome a deficit of a touchdown or more in two of their three wins. Even it takes them a little bit to get going offensively. They've had some, like, two-minute drills at the end of the first half that they've been able to salvage some points, but otherwise have started slow. So I don't know. It's just I like where the Bengals are going. I like the direction that they're trending in. I think Joe Burrow is legit. I think they've surrounded him with decent pieces on offense.
Very good pieces.
Yeah, Jamar Chase, he's one of those guys, you watch him and he just kind of pops. Like, you're like, okay, this guy's a legitimate wide receiver in this league. But I just don't know if I'm ready to get there yet. I mean, the 3 points seems small. So I'm gonna take the Packers. I'm gonna lay the points. The injuries, like I said, they do scare me a little bit, but I just don't want to look back on Monday and say, what the hell was I thinking?
Fair. I'm taking the Bengals.
Okay.
I will say the one caveat. They have really not played a lot. It's going to your point about the defense. They've played Minnesota, Chicago, Pittsburgh, and Jacksonville. This is by far the best offense that they've seen so far.
Yeah.
I don't know whether they can stop Aaron Jones and Devontae Adams. I'm not sure it matters because I think they're going to get what they want on offense. And to your point, a lot of good weapons there. Like, you know, you talk about Chase and how good he's been. And you look at last week, Tyler Boyd was their leading receiver. Like, I don't know if T. Higgins will be back this week either, but like they've got, you know, they can move the ball around. Mixon is as good a running back as there is. He's certainly in the top echelon of running backs. And I look at the Packers' defense. Yeah, you talk about it. You know, Jair Alexander could be done for the season. Z'Darrius Smith just went on IR. Preston Smith left that game last week with an ankle injury. There's a lot there. And Cincinnati, again, I mean, you can say what you want about who they've played so far, but 5.9 yards per play. Pretty explosive, 6 and explosive pass plays. Joe Burrow last 2 weeks completing nearly 80% of his passes, averaging 10.5 yards per attempt. A 135 passer rating. That's pretty good. I think the defense, there are still some question marks there, but they've been very good against the run, which is a big issue for them last year, and it seems like they've improved that. They've been good against the pass as well. They're top 10 both EPA passing and rushing defense. If they can get after Aaron Rodgers, which I think they might have a chance to get, especially against the Packers' offensive line is still banged up. Rodgers against pressure this year, 10 of 27, 5 yards per attempt, 39.7 passer rating. He did not have a very good game Sunday against Pittsburgh. Did not, one side as that score might have seemed. He missed a lot of relatively easy throws even when he wasn't under pressure. It just feels like they haven't completely locked it in. And a potential look-ahead spot, I guess. This is the Packers' easiest game on the schedule for until Christmas or through Christmas. I mean, just I had to stop myself at a certain point, but they go to Chicago next week. I guess Washington the week after is probably their easiest one. But then they've got at Arizona, at Kansas City, at home against Seattle, at Minnesota, the Rams. I think there's another Chicago game mixed in there, and then like Cleveland on Christmas. It's a gauntlet, and I think maybe they're taking this one for granted. It's like a free square on the bingo board.
Yeah.
I feel like the Bengals could sneak up on them.
Yeah, this is like, I guess I'm looking at it and I'm like, if I'm to believe the Packers are a legitimate contender this year, which I mean, I do. I did coming into this season, and I guess they're still in that conversation. Then I shouldn't be scared away by laying 3 points against the Bengals. That's the way I'm looking at it.
Yeah. I might be overthinking this one. I might be like outsmarting myself here.
This is like we talked about a couple weeks ago.
I know.
Overreacting to the overreactions.
Yeah,
and overthinking the overthoughts.
Maybe I'm outsmarting myself here. Because
that's kind of what, like, because I think my initial lean was maybe Cincinnati because they're, for all the reasons that you mentioned, and then I'm just like, I don't know if I want to come back in there next Tuesday and after the Packers blow them out.
I know.
And, you know, in Cincinnati just can't get a stop against a legitimate offense and a legitimate quarterback. And I just sit there and go, you know, I probably should have seen that coming.
As is almost the case always with the Packers, I feel like I might be emotionally hedging here, too.
Yeah. And I also, I mean, I don't know about what Joe Mixon's deal is going to be, if he's going to play and how much.
He's going to angle.
Yeah, so if he's banged up, I mean, you're leaning on the likes of P. Ryan.
Yeah.
And I got a lot of carries late in that Thursday night game.
I think it could be like a 45-pass game from Burrow, though, either way.
Yeah.
I just think this is like a, like, this might be just a shootout.
This could be a case, too, of me actually What's laying the points with them last week against Jacksonville and just having to watch them fall behind 14-0 early. And almost, I mean, there was really a point in that game where it was almost 21-0. Like, they were, they had to come up with a stop to even rally in that game. And you're talking about Jacksonville, who, I mean, by all accounts, is one of the worst teams in football on both sides of the ball. So.
They're not good. Total set of 50 here. I think I mentioned that already, but that's telling where I think this game's going to be. So
that might be the play.
Yeah.
I mean, I think both teams are going to get theirs.
Yeah, I mean, like, 35 feels doable for either one of those teams, the way the defenses are right now. All right. Also Sunday, I think this is in the late window Sunday afternoon. This might be the Nance and Romo game. Got the Cleveland Browns coming off of what the Browns did this week?
They had a weird win over Minnesota.
A 14-7 win over Minnesota.
Yeah, nice old school score.
Whereas the Chargers are coming off of at least waxing the Raiders in the first half. That thing got a little closer in the second half, but. Big divisional win for the Chargers, and they're at home again as one-point favorites here against the Browns. Two-thirds of the bets and nearly all of the money on the Chargers at the moment right now. There was no total listed last time I checked. These two teams haven't met since 2018. Very interesting potential playoff preview here. Like I said, Chargers laying one at home, basically a pick 'em. Where are you siding?
I like this game.
I do too.
I think,
the more I looked
into
it, the more
I
liked
it
too. Yeah.
Like I think, you know, we talked about the AFC West a lot last week, given the obviously them going up against the Raiders, and I think both of us are pretty high on the Chargers.
Yep.
I think for the most part we're both pretty high on the Browns too, even coming into the season. And I think what they've done to this point is been sort of what you would expect if you were high on the Browns. Like their rushing attack has been there. Well coached. That defense is evolving to a point where they're in a pretty good place right now. Slowed down Minnesota, which they got a pretty high powered offense, able to get after the quarterback. So I mean, I'm looking at this game and I can't look past the what seems to be a mismatch in the trenches. I mentioned last week that the Chargers are kind of reminding me of the Chiefs a little bit and how they're built, their strengths and their weaknesses. And with that in mind, I think that, we saw Cleveland last year able to, to push the Chiefs to the limit. And I don't think the Chargers are quite there offensively. Chargers 31st in rush success rate against, 27th in rush EPA against, 29th in explosive run rate against. So just really near the bottom of the league, no matter how you slice it against the run. And we all know that that's where the Browns thrive, up front, pushing you around with that offensive line. And then on the defensive side, like I said, they've evolved. They've had a lot of new pieces, a lot of turnover, but it seems like they're in a good spot right now. The one thing that does concern me a little bit is the quarterback. And if this ends up being a close game, admittedly, I trust Justin Herbert to make a play more than Baker Mayfield. But I think if you're Cleveland, you're going to be able to extend some drives, lean on that rushing attack, as you've done so much throughout the course of the season, because I think it's just a bad matchup for the Chargers.
Again, we're going to disagree. I'm going to take the Chargers, and I'm just going to hope that I get the Chargers team that I saw Monday night in the first half, which, I mean, they put a ton of pressure on Carr. The offense, after a little bit of sputtering early on, looked very good once they got Austin Eckler involved. Your points are well received, but I also look at what Cleveland was able to do, and I kind of break down the schedule. And again, this is a big theme of the week with level of competition. They looked really good. That offense looked really good weeks one and two against Kansas City and Houston. Kansas City's defense might actually be terrible, despite how much credit Steve Spagnuolo continues to get. I saw the Bills gassing them up too this week, despite the fact that they continue to give up a buttload of points and yards. And Houston, is just terrible. So, they looked good, looked great offensively there. come back to the earth last 2 weeks. Chicago game, you know, they the score looks good, but that was mostly their defense. So the Justin Fields with four total yards or whatever. Yeah. And then they scored, what, the 14 points this week in Minnesota. They're 24th in EPA offense the last 2 weeks. That's behind Detroit, behind Jacksonville, just ahead of Miami. they, you know, against better defenses the last 2 weeks, they've struggled. You know, Baker has really carved up the blitz, but the Chargers don't need to blitz much. They don't blitz much. They're 29th in blitz percentage. They can get pressure without sending extra guys, and that's a good thing against Cleveland, not just because of how good Baker's been against the blitz, but how poor he's been against just pressure in general. They've done a nice job of picking up the blitzes, obviously. But you know, when you're able to put pressure on Baker, he's been awful, completely awful. 8 of 24, averaging 5 yards per attempt, a pick, 33 passer rating is not good. Now you're looking at the fact that they might not have their left tackle. Jedrick Wells has an ankle injury, I think it is. He was carted off the field last week. That's a tough scene when you're going up against Joey Bosa and what that Chargers pass rush can do. You know, fourth fewest missed tackles for the Chargers, despite the fact something doesn't jive there. That's where like stats meet, and it's just nothing yeah. makes sense. Is that I'm just like reading through my notes here, and after the fact that you said their run defense was terrible, but their tackling apparently is okay.
Don't have to worry about tackling if you can't get your hands on them.
That's a good point. But like when I looked at this, I was like I leaned Cleveland at first, and then I just started digging into it a little bit more, and I think it comes down to. I think the Chargers should be able to get pressure on Baker, especially with the Wilson injury. And if they can get pressure on Baker, that's where he tends to struggle. So a lot of time possession battle here, too. Top 10 teams, time of possession. So interesting.
I was actually going to say, I might even I might look at the total more than anything when it comes to this game. You get two teams that do control the ball. I'm imagining a lot of clock's going to be bled. I think it's over under 50 is that what it's at now.
I'm double checking. Like I said, it was not on DraftKings, but
I think that's what it was earlier Tuesday morning. So yeah, maybe that's something you take a look at if you think that.
I'm seeing 50 as well. Yeah,
both teams are going to extend drives. That's the other thing about the Chargers. I look at their drive stats: 30th in plays per drive against and yards per drive against. So the Browns, if they're able to run the ball and keep Herbert off the field, I mean that's. That's yeah. the big thing for me because I do think that it's a fairly sizable quarterback mismatch. And you know if it's a close game, comes down to one play at the end, you know, that's my biggest concern as somebody backing the Browns.
Other thing too, the Browns' offensive sputtering has coincided with the Jarvis Landry injury as well.
Yep.
That's been a bit of an issue.
Yeah, they're back to sort of forcing the ball to OBJ a little bit. It's their own biggest adversary when it comes to that sometimes.
Yeah, it's an interesting team because then you look at like some of the advanced coaching stats and things like that. They're very aggressive when they should be aggressive. They get a lot of credit in the analytical community, but it just doesn't always feel right. Like it's just I don't think they've completely figured it out, and maybe it's a Baker issue. I can't say for sure. I don't watch enough Browns games, but it's going to be interesting. They're going to have the point of reckoning at some point.
This is definitely a game where, like, both of these teams are sort of trying to get over that hump, into actual Super Bowl contender type status. So you've got to win these games.
Yep.
So, you know, it's both of them have a very similar stakes, I guess. On the line this weekend.
Definitely. All right, this is by far the best game of the week. On paper at least, according to just about everybody. Except for maybe the Thursday night game. Thursday night game's pretty good too. But we got Sunday Night Football, Buffalo Bills coming off of just a thorough dismantling of the Houston Texans. They go to Kansas City, go to Arrowhead, return to the scene of the crime, take on the Chiefs, Chiefs team that is coming off of a road win in Philly. This is a rematch of the AFC Championship, won by the Chiefs, 38-24. They also met in week six last year. The Chiefs won that one as well. All of that being said, Kansas City just a 3-point favorite at home, total 56.5 at DraftKings Sportsbook. Like I said, Chiefs laying 3. Do you give the Bills a chance here?
Yeah, this is another game where you kind of look at the the level of competition to this point.
This is what I was, yeah.
Yeah, with like, you know, the Bills defense, is it is it as legit as the stats seem to paint it as? I mean, obviously they've, I mean, you look, Pittsburgh, Miami, Washington, Houston, they've pitched two shutouts. But, you know, that's not going to, that level of competition offensively isn't going to, you know, strike fear in anybody. For me, it ultimately just comes down to this. I mean, if you're gonna concede that the Chiefs have the better offense of the two and that the Bills have the better defense of the two, I think the difference between the defenses is far greater than the difference between the offenses, which leads me to take the Bills. I think the Bills are capable of keeping up really regardless of how this game plays out. Like, if it turns into a shootout, I think you can see them go toe-to-toe with them in that regard. But ultimately, you probably want to slow it down a little bit and turn it into a little bit more of a defensive game. And what we've seen so far is that they're equipped to do that. Like, I will say this, though. Like, the Bills, their defense, it's a little bit of like the situation Denver was in last week, who they had that, you know, cupcake of a schedule, yeah, going up against Baltimore and then fell flat in that game. I think the one difference where I kind of, why I think Buffalo is legit is that, like, they're basically, this is basically the same unit that they had last year, right? I mean, this is,
yeah,
almost all of their starters and backs. So, yeah. So there's a lot of just continuity there. And I think at the very least, you know, you can win with that defense. You know what I mean? Like, they might not play at the level that they've played at through the first four games, but going back to last season, you can win with that, you know, that personnel on that side of the ball. So, yeah, I'm leaning Bills in giving up the opportunity to take the Chiefs at a really short number, which is, it feels weird to do, but yeah. And this is, I mean, it's similar to the Browns and the Chargers. Like, this is a game for Buffalo where if you're looking to continue to assert yourself, yeah, as a legitimate team, you got to win this game.
You got to beat Kansas City at some point.
Got to beat them. Got to do it in Kansas City. Got to win it.
So I literally was on the fence until a couple minutes ago, and I'm looking at it, and the Chiefs are laying 3 at home. I'm taking the Chiefs. Like, it's only 3 points at home for the, yeah, Chiefs. Like, I don't know when the last time that happened was, but feels like it's been a while. I feel like I'm getting them at a good price against a Buffalo team that has beaten the hell out of bad teams, and also did not look great in week one against Pittsburgh, which was the stiffest competition they faced. I don't think there's anything necessarily I can take from that game and apply it to this one, other than the fact that, like, it just hasn't looked completely all there at certain points. Or, you know, I've seen them be mortal. Like, it's not like they're coming, yeah, into this one, you know, 4-0, having won every game by 30 points. I know the Chiefs have their own issues too, especially if they can't.
That defense is bad.
And if they can't block up front, like, Mahomes has been, like, mortal against facing pressure. His numbers aren't great either. I mean, he's 4 touchdowns, 3 picks when he's with pressure. Just, you know, 20 of 43, completing less than 50%. But, like, the thing with them, though, is, like, even if you get after them on second down and get them to throw it in the dirt, like, they're going to get 34 yards on the next play. Like, the explosiveness is still there. We saw it more so this past week than any other week. As long as he stops doing stupid stuff like no-look passing at the line of scrimmage with pressure in his face, I think they're in a good spot. I think Andy Reid's going to have a good game plan here. Their offensive line's been really good, too, or at least recently. This past week, they had 2 guys on that line who didn't allow pressure, you know, including Joe Tooney, who's been a good pickup for them. Again, it just comes down for me. A lot of it is the number. And I got the Chiefs laying 3 at home. I'll take that. And if I lose with that, I'll do it. But I get the public is mostly on the Bills, too. So
yeah,
to be it's kind of a contrarian pick here, just with 3, needing to cover 3 at home at Arrowhead with the Chiefs, I'll just do that almost blindly.
That's sort of where I've been with them for the bulk of this season, is like,
which is, and this is much different.
I
than
do
like,
hate going against the Chiefs in almost any scenario.
But this is much different than laying 7.5 on the road too, right, which we've seen in the past. Like, we've talked about, I don't know if it was on the show, if it was in our picks column, like, it was getting to the point where it was almost unprofitable to take the Chiefs just because they've.
Oh yeah, I mean their record against the spread going back to last season is putrid, and a lot of that is the inflated spreads. I mean you got some gargantuan numbers at the end of last year, and then it's kind of spilled over into this year. That defense is bad. Like that game against the Eagles this past week, like the Eagles they've got a world of offensive issues, and they still were like, I never felt great about that game as somebody who took the Chiefs. Like it just continued. I just thought they were going to sneak in the back door the entire game.
As somebody who took the Eagles, I never felt dead.
Yeah. It's just like they were constantly just sort of, every time the Chiefs sort of pulled away, like they were just there to, you know, kind of just sneaking in. And, you know, it's, yeah.
Well said. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good, and I mean, Kansas City has had the Bills number too. Like you talk about, not a whole lot has changed for that Bills team. Well, they got their asses whooped.
It'll be interesting to see what the Chiefs defense looks like at the end of the season, because I do feel like in previous years they've sort of figured it out as the year went on.
Yeah.
Like that is, to go back to your boy Steve Spagnuolo, that's kind of like been his MO.
That's
like
true.
You get towards the end of the year, that unit looks a lot better than it did. Maybe things start to click a little bit, but to this point, and it is like when you're turning the ball over with those, you know, what seem to be preventable giveaways, I mean that takes a toll on your defense as well. So if they can just clean that up, I don't know. I'm talking myself into
thinking I feel better now.
I don't know. I'm leaning Bills because I just think ultimately, like I said, that defense, I think it is pretty legit. Like I think, admittedly, they've faced terrible competition, but given what I've seen from them going back to even last year, I think that there's a chance it's pretty good.
I think you're probably
good enough.
Yeah,
good enough at least.
Yeah, we'll see. Although Matt Milano injured again, and I think he's still day to day, so I think he'll play, but. Hamstring that could come back anytime.
The whole thing with like the way the Eagles played them was weird too, because like it felt like Philly was just very concerned about giving up the big play, which is understandable.
Yeah.
But to the point where they were just like getting beat over the middle of the field like nonstop. So I'd like to think that at that second level, maybe the Bills can hold their own a little bit more.
You would think.
Yeah, you would think. That was. Philly's got it. I'm riveting to Philly, but spoiler alert, I got them coming up.
All right, who's your lock this week?
You don't want to go upset? You don't want me to take the Eagles right away?
No, I don't.
I'll take the Patriots. Laying 9.5 on the road against the Texans that the aforementioned Buffalo Bills beat up on in week 4. You got your classic Belichick versus the rookie quarterback this week. It's about as big of a coaching mismatch as I think you could probably get across the league at this point. It just feels like a must-win for the Patriots. And I do think that they're going to come out of that Bucs game better off because of it. Felt like a little bit of a galvanizing game. Like I think a lot of the newcomers especially, you really started to see like them make an impact for the first time. Looked good defensively still. Like, I don't know. That team has issues, obviously, along the offensive line. I just don't think Houston's able to exploit any of those. This feels very much like when the Patriots beat up on the Jets a few weeks ago. I think it was 25-6. I mean, that game the Patriots didn't play great, but they still covered pretty comfortably. So I could see a very similar game script this week.
Bonus lock, I think the Bucs go beat the pants off the Dolphins this week, because I think it's one of those ones where they got that out of their system, like, I think a nice fresh start for them.
That was sort of, I was looking at both of those. I am anxious to see how they both come out of that game.
Yeah.
Because you come out of that emotional game with two very soft spot in the schedule.
That being said, there is nobody left in that Tampa Bay secondary at this point, so who knows. Maybe I'll have to double-think that.
And, well, you know, the Dolphins, they've given Brady fits over the years. See if that extends to
That's
Tampa
true.
Bay.
That's a good point. I'm going with completely like Joe Square for my lock here. Tennessee on the road, 4 points against Jaguars. because I'm completely overreacting to narratives and things that have happened this week. But Urban Meyer, for those who didn't see, got caught at a bar being grinded upon by a woman, a young lady who is not his wife, which is a bit of an issue. I'm actually not really sure, not to go down a path, I'm not actually sure why it's as big of a deal as it is. Like,
yeah,
it's not great for the head for a married man to be doing that. I know they had the long week. Not great for your head coach to be caught out at a bar. Like, I was thinking about this last night. Like, I don't think Bill Belichick is getting caught in that situation.
No.
So that is not a good term.
The team, like, the team flying back and you staying behind for that, like,
that's a tough scene too.
The optics of that are not great.
Right.
I just don't know how you expect others to buy into the work ethic that you're supposedly
he's
trying
to instill.
He's an Ohio
guy. I mean, it's what do you want? We make picks for every game. You can only do so much research. I'm just going off of Mike Silver's reporting today. He had a tweet thread. Let me just run through some of this. This is all from unnamed players, various unnamed players. One of them, Urban Meyer, has, quote, zero credibility in that stadium. He had very little to begin with. Another player, he canceled the team meeting on Monday to deal with the thing. He was too scared, says this player.
It's hungover.
Another player, we looked at him
when you
like...
you get that age, it's a multi-day recovery process.
Another player says, we looked at him like, what the F? right when he left, everyone started dying laughing, and he knew it. This is after the apology. I think this is the same player, said it's bad. I don't know how he's going to function. NFL veteran Chris Long, also on Twitter, says, if I'm a player in Jacksonville, veteran player in Jacksonville, I am now my own boss. Not good. Things are not going well right now for the Jaguars. And I think from a pure football and line standpoint, Tennessee is probably better than 4 points against that team. I don't think there's a ton of home field advantage going to Jacksonville. I don't know. This one feels kind of stinky, but I'm falling for it. I'll take the Titans. I'll lay the points.
Yeah. Jacksonville's a team I think I'd prefer to stay away from. Just
understandable. I just think this is such a dumpster fire. This doesn't feel like a rally around anybody's situation.
No, no. But I got burned by him last week when I decided to lay the points with Cincy. And
yeah, I mean, Cincy. You know. Which is weird. I think my logic last week was like, I'm not taking Cincinnati because I'm not laying 7.5 points with a team that I don't think is very good. And now I'm picking them to cover against the Packers. So things change week to week.
It is, yeah.
All right, let's
it's
go
a
back
fluid
to,
process.
For your favorite, to your favorite team, the Eagles.
Eagles.
Is that their upset, I'm guessing?
Yeah, I'm going to take them. 3.5-point underdogs against the Panthers. I mentioned just the Eagles' defense giving up 42 to the Chiefs. They give 41 to the Cowboys. Like, conversely, they've allowed 6 points to Atlanta and 17 to the 49ers. The Eagles, to me, they feel like a team that they're capable of slowing down adequate offenses, which I think the Panthers qualify as without, and maybe even with, Christian McCaffrey. I think they're a live dog here. I mean, the Eagles giving up 40-plus points to the Cowboys and Chiefs is like, they're not going to be the only team that does that this year. If you can get now, you get a reasonable matchup against the Panthers.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of disagreement between the two of us this week.
There was last week.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's why I felt like less than I thought, to be honest. But that's neither here nor there. Okay, fair. For my upset, this is again pretty square. Pretty shoot first, ask questions later. But I'll take Denver on the road, catching 1.5 against the Steelers. Which I know, like, I can almost guarantee Sam at some point is going to be like, I like Pittsburgh a lot this week because you only get, you know, laying 1.5 at home where it's tough to play in Pittsburgh. But, like, I've seen enough of Ben Roethlisberger. It's just...
But with Drew Locke.
I think we're done here. So that's my problem is that...
I feel like Sam is not going to be a Drew Locke guy.
I'm putting a lot of stock into Teddy Bridgewater's brain this week. It being better.
Getting some of that Russell Wilson recovery water.
Hopefully the Brady concussion juice as well. Yep. Yeah. I'm going to be honest. I made this lean before realizing or remembering that Bridgewater is hurt. That being said, though, like, the Denver defense, was pretty good. I don't think they were run over last week. Like, I mean, the fact that the, you know, Baltimore came in and like the controversy was like Baltimore had to run the ball with 3 seconds left to get over 100 yards rushing kind of tells you how good Denver was.
They got a huge hair across their ass going into this game too.
That's the other thing. They're going to be a pretty pissed off team. But that Denver defense, I think they've got a chance to get after it against a Ben Roethlisberger. I think this is a good spot for them. And they've not done a very good job of protecting Roethlisberger either, which feels like a problem when the guy has a statue back there. He had a pec injury. I think now he has a hip problem. Like, they until they stop running him out there, I don't know. It's hard.
It's amazing they didn't do more to account for this.
Like,
because like that team, otherwise outside of the quarterback position, is good enough to compete.
Somebody's gonna write this week. Why isn't Teddy Bridgewater a Steeler?
Yeah, it's a good point. Yeah, that's a perfect type of quarterback.
They would
manage the game a little bit.
A playoff team with him.
Yeah. No, that floored me this offseason when they didn't do anything there.
Really. Yeah, it's tough. It's the same thing with like the Jets, but in much different circumstances, where it's like if you have an aging guy who is, you know, in a walking boot by week six every year, or if you have a rookie quarterback who's you're just gonna feed to the wolves, you have to have a decent backup quarterback.
Yeah, they just, I mean, it feels like they're wasting a year of like their window.
Their core, like a good young defensive core. Like, yeah, they have good young good defensive players.
Good skill players. Receivers, at least when injuries started cropping up, and it's just they've nothing. They've pissed away this season for the most part.
It's a mess. Yeah. So, all right. That's a nice little slate, I guess, this week. I'm not as jazzed up as I was last week, but we'll make it.
No, but you know what? I've talked myself into it a little bit.
I've talked myself into it.
After first glance, I was like,
1 o'clock games, yeah.
But you have the good marquee Sunday night game. I like I said, I really like that Chargers Browns game, and the Packers Bengals.
I like that Packers Bengals game now.
It's sneaky interesting. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm kind of in on this week.
Me too. I've talked myself into it. All right, let's go talk to Sam.
And now we welcome in Nesson, betting analyst or expert, depending on who you ask, Sam Panayotovich. Sam, how are you?
Feeling good. I see you smiling because we're not together today. It was another winning week for Nesson.com. And in the super contest, if I didn't flip on your pick, you had the Cowboys, I had the Panthers, we would have gone 5-0 in the super contest. So I'm feeling great, honestly.
That's very nice of you to put me over within the first 15 seconds of this get together. So, yeah, no, we'll take 4-1 every week. I mean, that's your hubris aside. You know, we will take 4-1 and we'll just keep trucking along and we'll win thousands and thousands of dollars. And I won't have to do this show next year because I'll quit and, you know, we'll run other things.
I do think you should start as going back to the title as an analyst and work your way up to an expert. I think that should be like the hierarchy that when you first get hired, you start off in the
expert has to be earned
the analyst tier.
Yeah,
and then after you show that you're worthy, that's when we give you the bump.
That's fair. Sam, let's start with Patriots Bucks, I guess. We'll kind of just recap or kind of pick up where we left off last week real quick, revisit that. Pretty good week for Vegas on that one, right?
One of the biggest decisions in the regular season in the last couple decades, you know, from the guys that I talked to, they were all pulling for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to not cover the spread. Now, if Nick Folk makes that field goal, we're talking about one of the best Sunday night football games of all time, because the liability just built and built and built. And at one point, you know, with about an hour before kickoff, you're talking about 85, 86, 87% of the spread bets on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And it didn't really stop. You know, there was some wise guy money came in on the Pats plus the 7, but 9 of 10 public bets are on -6.5. So it was really a situation where the books did what they had to do. They put themselves in a good spot. Obviously, Gronkowski not being there was a lot more important than I think people realize, because that's his red zone blankie. And here's another point that we've talked about on the spread for a month now. This is a dead under team, New England, until further proven. 4 games, 4 unders. This one wasn't even freaking close. The total was 49.5, almost got the 50. and it's 19-17 the final. So why would you be betting over on any Patriots game going forward until you actually see it?
That game played out exactly how the Patriots wanted it to play out, I would say. And I think that's probably, I think it's fair to say that that's the brand of ball they want to play all season. You know, and
did you see the total for the Houston game, Ricky? We're down to 39.5 already.
Yeah, we're getting down there.
Is that the lowest total of the year?
It's the lowest one by far. Yeah, I think the lowest total closed at 42. So we're a whole field goal short of that almost. This thing opened 41.5. Already seeing some 39.5s, and I wouldn't be surprised, given the fact that it's two offenses that don't move the ball that well. This might close 38.5, and I still wouldn't go over.
Yeah, I said this feels very similar to a few weeks ago when they beat up on the Jets on the road. It was like 25-6, I think, was the final. You could see a very similar outcome this week.
Yeah, I think you're going to see the sharp money continue to bet this up as well. You know, we're at 9 right now, 9.5 at South Point, 9.5 at DraftKings. I guess if you're listening to this, depending on what your number is at that point, if you like New England, you might as well just lay it whenever you listen to this, because if you wait until Sunday, man, this could be 10, 10.5. I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of people that bet on sports for a living that take a good number on Houston. You know, Mike and I talk about this all the time. You know, are you betting the team or are you betting the number? I don't think sharp guys are going to take either with the Houston side. It's Bill Belichick against Davis Mills. I mean, what's the advantage there? I mean, I'd need at least 13 or 14 to take Houston. And at 9, 9.5, even though we missed the move, 7.5 on the open, now it's 9. I still would lay anything under 10 with New England because they're desperate. They need to win. And it's Belichick against Mills. That's a pretty good combination.
Feels pretty businesslike for them. Completely switching gears. Talking about very competent, responsible head coaches. Does the market react, get tweaked at all, whether it's bettors or bookmakers, when something like the Urban Meyer thing happens? Does that get factored into anybody's thought process at all, or it's just like this team is a complete clown show and they hate their coach?
It's a very good question. I don't know that that's priced into, you know, the day-to-day stuff, but it is built into the equation that this team is a dumpster fire, and they have been pretty much since Mark Brunell left town. I mean, well, I guess they had that one year when they had Bortles and they went to the AFC title game and the Patriots had to rally and beat them. I guess that was the outlier, but I don't know how you can bet on poorly coached and poorly prepared teams. You know, last year I said this, I shouted from the rooftops, don't bet on Anthony Lynn. Don't bet on Dan Quinn. You just can't put your, I'm not going to put my money on those guys. So I would never tell you to put your money on those guys. And yeah, I bet Jacksonville week two against Denver. I thought it was still a decent bet, but I was like, all right, 2 weeks into the season, I'm good. Even if they're getting 17 or 14 or 13.5, like I don't really care. And we know he's quitting. We know he's going to resign eventually because that's what he does in the face of adversity. I can't imagine he's long for that job yet. As we look at the board for week number 5, here we go. Tennessee -4 at Jacksonville. Why is the line only 4? You could make it 6 and you still wouldn't run any bets on the Jags.
I feel like that could be a potential super contest pick for you guys this week.
I love the Titans this week. I don't understand. Like, I love them so much. It makes me wonder how dumb I am. Like, because I just don't get it. Because the Titans aren't a terrible team either. Like, they haven't played well, and obviously injuries are an issue. But, like, there's no huge home field advantage in Jacksonville either. So 4 points feels low for especially – for a team that, you know, that is on everybody's radar right now too. It's not like this thing is flying under the radar. Like, everybody knows how bad the Jaguars are right now. It's weird.
And you see things in those Jacksonville games where you know they're just poorly coached. When they're up 14-0 against Cincinnati, they have a chance to go for the kill. It's 4th and goal at the inch line, and he's got Trevor Lawrence in the shotgun at the 4. And they just hold the ball and fall forward. But no, they're going to take it back 4 yards and then try and run in, and they get stuffed and they end up losing that game. So I don't trust them to make the right decision here. And look, you know that I'm a type of guy that I like to outsmart myself sometimes. They're like, oh, let's take Jacksonville because nobody else will.
Right.
Forget it. There's no way. I need at least seven or more in any game going forward with Jacksonville. The only issue, you're like, I don't know that I want to run to the window to bet Tennessee, but I mean, if you like them, we each get at least two picks in our five. Tennessee was without Julio and AJ Brown last week. So monitor that. You know, we get the lines on Wednesday. If one of those two guys are in, one or both, I think we'd almost have to. I don't even care that it might be the squarest play on the board. It is what it is at that point.
You mentioned staying away from Dan Quinn and Anthony Lynn last year. Now it seems like you're pretty low on Jacksonville. Are any other teams that you're already through 4 weeks just want absolutely no part of, based largely on their volatility?
I'm going to answer this in a different way, but I think we're all on the same boat that Matt Nagy stinks. Problem is, Matt Nagy can beat bad teams. We've seen this already twice this year when they face teams like the Lions or the Bengals and they're unwanted. You know, Mike, we've bet the Bears twice this year. We're 2-0. They're 2-2 because we know we can bet them at home when they're undervalued. I think we laid 2.5 against Cincy and we laid 3 against the Lions. However, when they go on the road or they face a team with any sort of a pulse, they're cooked. Like, I know for a fact I'm going to be on the Raiders here. I know for a fact I'll be laying 5.5, 6 points against the Bears because the Bears can't stop good offenses and they can't beat good teams. And this comes down to a situation where, all right, the Bears might win 4, 5, 6 games this year, but they're going to lose a lot of games and they're going to lose a lot of games big because their coach is a moron. And we have seen this many years now in Chicago. You know, first it was John Fox's fault. Then it was Mitch Trubisky's fault. Then it was the other offensive coordinator's fault. Now it's, you know, like it's never Matt Nagy, Ryan Pace's fault. It's always somebody else's fault. And usually when you keep pointing the fingers elsewhere, it should be coming right back at you. And I will gladly, like, I'll bet against the Bears every week when they face a good or a great team. No problem.
I have a philosophical question. That we probably should have asked last week, but it's still relevant and germane considering our conversation right now. If you had to choose one thing, one or the other, when it comes to handicapping and it comes to looking at these games, as a coach or quarterback, which one do you put the greater emphasis on?
Quarterback. The quarterback's the most important position in the sport. Now, in the postseason, I could make a case for against the spread, maybe taking some coaches, but even then, like if Belichick gets into the postseason and, you know, say they win 9-10 games and they sneak in and they, oh, here you go, you get Kansas City. Somehow, you know, Kansas City falls outside the top couple teams and it's Belichick against Mahomes. I probably won't be on Belichick. Every situation is different. It all depends on who plays who and who the quarterbacks and coaches are. But, yeah, I mean, the quarterback is the most, I would argue, the most important position in all of sports. The starting pitcher in baseball, the quarterback in the NFL, maybe a goalie in hockey, especially an elite goalie to an average goalie. Those are the three biggest positions as far as moving these markets. And I would say, yeah, it's quarterbacks. What did we see last year? I mean, the four quarterbacks that survived all the way to the end, it was Brady, Josh Allen, Rodgers, and Mahomes. You know, we're going to look up in late January and the final four quarterbacks, three of them will be elite, at least three. Sometimes there's a hot defense that gets in, but usually it's the elite quarterbacks that are standing at the end of the day.
Fair enough. You have anything else? All right, Sam. Thank you. This was very informative once again.
You're the best. I never know if you're serious, but all I know is I want 5-0 this weekend. I'm feeling it.
Well, yeah, that is the goal. I'm feeling it. Like, let's just get hot. Go on a run here. Like I said, make a lot of money. I can go work at a golf course or something.
And we'll never have to talk to Ricky again.
That's the goal.
What everybody's striving for in these parts.
All right. Sam, thank you for joining us as always. This has been the Spread and Essence Football Picks podcast. See you again next week. Later.